Good morning. We're joining churches around the nation, remembering the plight of orphans today on a Sunday called Orphan Sunday. And we've done more than just set aside a Sunday. We set aside the whole weekend. And many of you were here this weekend. Many of you are here working, others working and attending our very first WCC Orphan Care Conference. We had Dr. Tony Morita, professor from Southeastern, here yesterday, a pastor and a good friend of mine, and he really stirred us up yesterday. And I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will stir you up today. And you may be here today and you're thinking, great, I showed up on the Sunday that they're going to show those pictures of those orphans, and why don't you just go ahead and pass the plate now so I can go to lunch? I've showed up on the Sunday that you're going to put the guilt trip on us. And you couldn't be more wrong. I'm not going to guilt you today. In fact, the purpose today is not so much just to focus on orphans, but to focus on how you're living out your faith. And that's the purpose of this message today, is how will you first respond to the Father's love for you? Because many of us are here today and we recognize that we used to be spiritually orphans. We used to be fatherless spiritually. And others are here today and you're seeking. And the Father loves you. And so we want to work out the implications of what it means to be a people who are now made right with God the Father and what that looks like. Now, if you would have gotten to see the video, the first sentence that flashed across the screen, and I think maybe that much did get started, it said, creation groans. And that's a reference to the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul said that because of sin, that creation itself is in labor. That the sin of man has affected everything. It's infected and affected everything. And creation groans like a woman in labor, waiting for God to send Jesus back again to bring his kingdom and to relieve us of this suffering. And orphans and widows are part of this condition in this world today. And today I want to talk to you as men and women of God, brothers and sisters who have been adopted into God's family. And I want to talk to you about the implications of what it means to call yourselves Christian in the purest sense of that. Now, certainly it includes doing what you're doing right now, showing up at church, right? So what's it look like to be Christian? You go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, you worship with one or two hands or no hands, but at least you're singing, you're here. What does it look like to be Christian? Those are examples. But in the book of James, James gives us a real clear evidence. He says, you want to see what real pure, undefiled, like the purest evidence of what it means to be a Christ follower? You want to see what that looks like? It looks like this. It looks like caring for the least of these. That's what it looks like. So that's what we're going to unpack today. We're going to dig down, because the Apostle James told the first church in Jerusalem that the authenticity of their faith would be evidenced by the way they treated orphans and widows. We can show true faith and worship before our Heavenly Father by how we treat the least of these. And I think as we look at the text, it'll show us three ways that we can carry this hope, how we can visit this hope upon the least of these in our world. So let's look at the text. One verse. We're going to just talk about one verse today, because it's so rich, it's so full, it's going to take us the rest of the time just to unpack this verse and to work out its implications. So let's look at it. It's in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Amen? So let's unpack this. Let's dig down and work this out. We're going to take it just practically a word at a time. The first word is religion. Now, if you've been coming to this church at any length of time at all, you almost always hear me refer to religion in the negative sense. And you'll hear me say, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. And I still believe that's still true. In most of the New Testament, every time it refers to religion, it refers to it in the negative sense. When Jesus talks to the Pharisees, who were known for their religiosity, he says to them, hey, you're pretty good at tithing off your spices and your outward expression of a religion, but what about justice and mercy and the care of the orphan and the widow? And so you're hypocrites, your religion is false. And so we see that throughout the scripture, religion's almost always, but here James is using it in the positive sense. And so religion is this. Here's what James is getting at. Here's religion. It's the outward expression of what you believe. Religion is the part we can see. And so here's what James is saying. If you want to see faith walk, and what kind of faith is this? Well, if we could read the Bible without the chapters and the verses, which is how it was originally written, we added the chapters and verse markings so we could find stuff, so we could find the address. So chapter 2 didn't used to be there. It would just go from verse 27 right into verse 1 of chapter 2. So let's kind of look. What kind of religion is this? Well, verse 2 says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what kind? This is faith in Jesus. That's what James is talking about. So here's what it looks like. Faith in Jesus looks like visiting orphans and widows. Okay? So the religion, we've unpacked that word. And then he says it's a kind of religion. It's pure and undefiled. The word pure could be translated without any mixture. If we were talking about olive oil, we would say 100%, you know, virgin olive oil. It means there's no mixture in there. And the implication is that it's been made clean. It's as if it had been separated. And so the idea seems to be that maybe it did have a mixture, but God the Father has purified it. So pure, there's no mixture of motive in this person. You think about that for a second. Now, if you help me, I'm the pastor of the church. You might, well, I've helped the pastor of the church. Maybe I get extra credit for that. You know, your motives might not be pure. Maybe you help a rich person or you help somebody, you know, maybe you like somebody and you help them because you're trying to get a date. There might be a mixture of motive in there. It might not be pure. But if you help an orphan who has nothing but need to give you, all they can offer you is their need. It's an example of pure motive. It's what James is getting at. You want to see what real Christianity looks like in its purest motivation? It helps the helpless. And then there's this word undefiled. Okay, so pure and undefiled. Now, pure has the idea of without any mixture, and undefiled, it kind of underlines that word, but it says something slightly different. That means to be untainted or free from contamination. So the idea here seems to be the first may apply to your motive. This is more your practice of what it looks like. Okay, so now as you do it without doing anything to get credit for it or to mess it up. So it's undefiled, so like that. We're unpacking this verse, okay? And this next word, visit. I want to look at that. Man, that thing is rich. That thing is so thick. You look it up, it's like a paragraph of information when you look it up. It comes from the word that's so rich, it goes all the way back through the Old Testament, this idea of visit. It has the idea in the Greek of being able to see from a high point, to look down and get an overview. It's got at the same root, the same word that we translate as bishop or overseer in other places. At the root, it's episkopos. Epi means over. Like if you say epicenter, it means you've come right over the center, but you're above it, like that. So the idea is to have an overview so that you see, but it also has to do with the idea of to know something by inspection and touching it, like that. So this word visit. It's a rich word. It's very rich. It's so rich that that's where our three ways of responding is going to emerge from that verb. I'm going to unpack that in just a second. It's so rich that different English translations try to translate it, and they're all getting it right, but they're all getting a piece of it. I like that the ESV calls it visit, because that's like the first way you would translate it. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows. That's right. That word includes the implication that you would care. And then the NIV says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after. That captures the idea of looking. So you look after widows and orphans. They're both getting this right, but it's all inside that word visit. Like that. This is pretty cool. This is like the word orphan in the Greek is orphanos. It's where we get the word orphan. It comes from the Greek. The English word comes from the Greek. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I was studying this. I somehow had missed that in my study in previous years. And the Greek language is like the foundation underneath Latin. And Latin is where we get the Romance languages, you know, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Italian. They all come out of Latin. But English is like that word, that language that grabbed words from every part of the planet because of the British Empire. And so we picked up orphanos somewhere along the way, and we made it ours. Orphan. It means to be bereaved in the Greek. Someone died. It literally points to the death of the father, that the person is fatherless. Notice that it is listed first, orphans and widows, because they're both in need, but the one the most helpless, the one is the orphan. They're both in need, because there's been the death of the household provider, the one who had, in the first century at least, the rights to own property, and they're both in need for the same reason. So their need is connected to the death or absence of the father, the orphan. Okay. We've unpacked the verse, and there's more unpacking, but let's do it along the way, because now I want to talk about how we work out this word visit. You still with me? I know I dug down really quick, really early, but this is a meaty sermon. I don't have time to waste, because my prayer today is I want to set a vision for our church to do these three things I'm going to tell you about. I'm not playing today. I never play, but I'm especially not playing today, because we're going to work out our faith, and we're going to feel the heartbeat of the Father, and we're going to do something about it. We're not just going to hear God's word and walk away like we didn't hear it. You tracking with me? And so, how do we visit the world's orphans with real hope? How do we visit? So let's just work that word out. Here's what it first of all means. It means to see their affliction. That's what that word first of all means. It means to see it. Now, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to wake up. Now, my wife, she's watching a certain TV series on Sunday nights, and I watch it with her. Now, we don't get to watch it on Sundays. We have to DVR it because we usually have family at our house, so we end up usually watching it on Monday night. And I usually give up. Now, me and tell my wife how much I love her, because she doesn't get to. I don't watch Monday Night Football so she can watch it. I watch part of it, but I miss part of Monday Night Football so that we can watch this together. Now, I liked this show when it first started coming out, but the people are so dumb in this show, I can't tolerate it anymore. So I usually work on something and look occasionally. And you know, it's that Walking Dead show, in case you're wondering. And so Robin likes to watch it, but she doesn't actually like to watch it. She likes to watch it with her eyes closed or with a blanket pulled up like this so that one eye is looking and it can quickly not look. And it's just so hilarious to me. I think part of the reason I like to watch it on Monday nights is I mostly just watch her. And I make commentary during the commercials, which probably ruins it for her, going, that was the stupidest move I ever saw. Because these people on this show, I'm not afraid of the zombies, I'm afraid of these people. They're so dumb. Now, some of you, by the way, just side note, sidebar, why are you putting these spooky pictures of yourself on Facebook? I don't get it, but anyway, the rest of you, God love you, you don't know anything what I'm talking about, you don't need to know what I'm talking about, it's not important. Here's the point. Don't pull the blanket up over your eyes. I'm not. When you leave here today, I will have yanked the blanket down and you will have looked into the scary situation called the affliction of the orphan. And I pray, here's what I pray, that you'll be as messed up as I am. You'll be as ruined as I am about this. What's that word affliction mean? That you would visit the orphan and the widow in their affliction. What does it mean to be afflicted? It means to be persecuted, to be in distress, literally to be under pressure, because it's like two things are closing in, like two walls are closing in, and you're being pressed in like that, like you're being crushed without hope. That's what it means to be afflicted in the sense that James is talking. That there's this feeling that there's no escape, no way out. Now, many of you know this about me, but my father died when I was 8 years old. I'm the oldest of four children. I became an orphan in the sense that James is talking about. I had a wonderful father, but he died of lung cancer at just shy of his 40th birthday. And it changed everything at my house. There was a hopelessness that came over my house. It's hard to describe. Like a cloud moved over and stayed there. I felt trapped. I remember we waited to the, you know, my mother didn't graduate high school. She's a wonderful, beautiful woman, loved her kids, a great housekeeper, knew the Bible, was a gospel singer. She didn't finish high school. She didn't finish ninth grade. She dropped out of school in ninth grade. She'd had a lot of illnesses and wasn't that important in those days, apparently, for a farm girl to go to school. And so we lived off Social Security, got check, waiting for the third day of the month. Woohoo! Groceries. And I did not want to be in that situation. I felt trapped. And so I was the first college graduate in my entire extended family. And I wanted out of that. I felt trapped. But I still thank the Lord. I had grandfathers. I had uncles. I had coaches. I had teachers. I had men in the church. I had men who came in and helped my mom and worked on the things at the house and took me to play ball. And I had many fathers. Praise God. But I know a little bit what it feels like to be afflicted, hopeless. But there are children around this world that feel so trapped and hopeless, and they don't think anyone sees it. Will you open your eyes and see it with me? In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, the people of Israel were in slavery to the Egyptians, and they felt like the Lord didn't see it. But then in verse 31, it says, "And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction." So they bowed their heads and worshiped. That when God visited, he saw it. In Acts chapter 7, it refers back to the same story. It says, "I have seen," this is the Lord speaking, "I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them." So certainly visiting means to see. To see the situation. To see their living condition. To see their need. To see their affliction. Open your eyes. Because God has seen your affliction. He has visited us. He has seen. Now, what causes this condition called the orphan? What are the causes? May I say to you that the root cause is the same in the physical realm as it is in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, the reason we're orphaned is because we're distant from God, the Father, because of our sin. He made us for himself. He made us in his own image. But the image of God in us has been bent by sin so that we no longer fellowship with him, but we go our own way. But then Jesus comes and dies for us on the cross so that we can be made sons and daughters again of the Father, so we can be made right with the Father. So the cause of spiritual fatherlessness is sin. What's the same in the physical world? The reason that there is death in the world is because of sin. Death can as a result of sin. Okay? So that's the first cause of being an orphan, is someone died. In most cases, this means the father, but in many, it means the father and the mother. They have no parents. Now, where's the greatest number of orphans in the world as a result of death? Well, it's in Africa. Much of the coming wave of new orphans in the world is from Africa, because it's the place on planet Earth where the AIDS epidemic has wrought its worst outcome. 24 of the 25 countries in the world with the highest incidence of AIDS is found in Africa. It is believed that over 14 million African children are orphaned due to AIDS. 1 in 5 children orphaned in Africa is due to AIDS. But death is one of the main reasons for a child to be orphaned. Here's another reason: abandonment. Now, this one hits closer to home in America. Fatherless homes due to absentee fathers. Fathers who abandoned their children. This creates an orphan epidemic in America due to the moral breakdown of the American family. Absentee fathers. Drug-addicted parents. So the children are removed from the home because the parents are addicts. Financially unable to take care of the children, so they drop them off at the children's orphanage, at the children's home, or at someone's doorstep. They can't take care of them. Crime is a cause. Someone was involved in criminal activity and they got locked up. Now they can't take care of their child, and so the child is orphaned. I could go on. So abandonment for many reasons. Financial problems lead to another problem called slavery. Now we like, what? It's the 21st century. Nah, slavery. There are probably more slaves on planet Earth right now than at any other time. And they primarily are from this problem of the orphan. According to the U.S. State Department, 800,000 people are trafficked across international borders every year. I said that, almost 1 million people. Over 50% of these are orphans, children. Orphan children find themselves serving in forced labor, slavery, and even prostitution at the hands of a well-organized and lucrative global criminal system built on their exploitation. Are your eyes still open? I'm not finished. Don't turn away yet. It's estimated that 210 million orphans, this is from UNICEF, are in the world right now, over 210 million. To give you perspective on that number, the largest country in the world is population-wise is China, then India, number three is the U.S., 317 million. The fourth is Indonesia with about 220 million. If orphans were a nation, they would be almost equal to the nation of Indonesia, which means it would be the fourth largest nation in the world. This is the size of this problem. 8 million orphans live in old school institutional orphanages. This is especially true in the former USSR countries, Russia and those countries. Countries that haven't had the background of Christianity because they were atheistic under the communist regime. They don't have the church, and so they don't have any sense of orphan care. And they're in these old school, sterile orphanages. 5,760 orphans are orphaned every day. 300 children will become orphans before this service is over. While this service is going on, there will be 300 orphans. 250,000 children are adopted annually, but 14.5 million orphans age out of the system without ever getting a shot at being adopted. 2 million orphans are exploited in the sex industry. There is an orphan crisis in America. This is not just in the world. And we might think, well, we've got it solved in America. We don't have those institutionalized, those sterile environments. You know, if we have an orphanage today, we call it a children's home, and we have house parents, and we break up the groups so that they're, and we've done a lot of things better. We have foster care. We're doing better than we used to do, but it's not enough. There's still close to 500,000 children in the foster care system in America, almost 500,000. 130,000 of them are right now ready to be adopted, this minute, available for adoption. We're not doing enough. Visiting the world's orphans with real hope in the midst of their affliction means seeing the problem. And let's keep working this word out. Here's what else it means. It means to go to them. Don't see it, then close your eyes and forget it. Go to them. Visit means go knock on the door. Go where they are. Go see. Where are they? Well, they're everywhere. They're in our city. They're in our county. They're in our state. They're in other countries. I'm going to give you an easy go in just a minute. Hang on. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to ask you to go before you leave. Wait and see. Hold on. You'll see it. Go to them. Now, you might think, okay, I see it, Gary, and I'm going to go to them the way I go and visit my other friends on Facebook. You know, I got 7,969 friends on Facebook, and the way I visit other people is I send them pictures of my cat, and I'm going to use social media to visit the orphan. But the orphan needs a touch, and by the way, so do your friends. You know, that's not real friendship. I'm not putting it down. I mean, that's a way of keeping up with people, but it's not the same. And you got to go. So I'm going to give you a way to do that before you leave today. When God visited, He didn't send us a text. He didn't mail us a check. He sent Jesus. And Jesus came and he became part of our situation. He got down right into it. And he became one of us. He got in our situation. And when he sent Jesus, he visited us with the one who would redeem us. He gave us the answer. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin, born in a stable. He that knew no sin became sin for us. He that was holy became unrighteous so that we could become holy. He took on our situation. He visited. In the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 68, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Boy, when God visits, he goes. Jesus came to us. This is what Christmas is about. This is what Easter is about. This is what Christianity is about. That God became a man. He visited us. And throughout the scripture, if you want to pick something up, he loves orphans because we used to be orphans. We all used to be orphans. He loves us. Jesus was teaching his disciples and he said, when the end of time comes, And you stand before the judgment, I will say to you, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And he says, then the righteous among you will say, well, Lord, when did we visit you? He'll say, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. What does the face of the orphan look like? It looks like the face of Jesus. What does it mean to visit the orphan? It means to live out your Jesus faith and to be Jesus to this world. Go to them. In Tom Davis's book, Field of the Fatherless, he talks about the condition and plight of the orphan. And one of his stories, he talks about a child in a Russian orphanage, and when I talk about it, this is kind of the environment that I'm talking about. That if we could pan back and look at that picture, we would see dozens and dozens of beds side by side, inches apart, of children in the same age group. And one of these children talked, and Tom Davis reports what he said about a visit from some Americans who went. He says, "I hated my life since the third grade when I was unmercifully beaten. I felt then that life is lost and death is looking for me. And my tears were telling me that life was nothing in comparison with death. I felt like a little cockroach. A bunch of American people came to our school, and I thought that they maybe came to laugh at us. But I was mistaken. They are people willing to give up the most precious gift a person can possess, love. Their intentions to share seem strange, as they already had their own kids. But these people have such big hearts to give that there's still enough room left over for even us little cockroaches." Then I began to feel myself not being a cockroach anymore. Maybe I deserve not to be mashed. Maybe I deserve not to be killed. Maybe I'm a human being. It's a wonderful feeling, believe me. So says this little Russian boy who some Americans went to see. Okay, before you leave today, I want you to go somewhere. When you get home, you're talking to your neighbors, you can say, "Our pastor told us where to go." When you leave today, as you walk out, I want you to stop at those tables. There's several of them out there. You could start this journey. You can get messed up because you got your eyes open, and I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do yet. I'm going to tell you some of the things I am doing, but I'm not sure that the Lord's finished with me. But if you'll go out and get your eyes opened that much more, you can talk to the ABBA Fund. They're out there. They help people who are trying to adopt. It's very expensive. They help them with the funding. Amazing Grace Adoptions and Orphan Care. That's the group we've partnered with this past summer to go to Uganda. And we're going back this summer. I'm going on that team. That's one of the things I'm doing. I'm going with them to Uganda, and then I'm going with Caroline's Promise. They're also out there. To Guatemala this coming summer. I'm going to be training pastors in both locations. We're going to gather about 15, 20 pastors in both locations, because strategically for me is to carry the tool I have. I don't know what your tool is. I know what my tool is. I'm going to go train pastors how to build churches that will touch the orphan indigenously. They can do it better than me. You know, I could go over there, and we were talking about this yesterday, I could go over there and move a wheelbarrow rocks around for a week, and that would be helpful. But if I could train them to be better pastors, that's what I'm hoping to do. And who knows what else the Lord will stir up in me, but I'm going. Maybe that's what you'd do. So go out and talk to Amazing Grace Adoptions. Talk to Bethany Christian Services. They help. They are an adoption agency. I know at least one family in our church that went through them to adopt. Talk to Caroline's Promise. They have children you can sponsor right now on the table. You could look at their little pictures. Sponsorship might be an option. You could go and talk to New Horizons for Children. They're out there. They help orphans have just a short visit. So you'd be kind of doing sort of a short-term thing. It's a lesser commitment. Wilson DSS is here to talk to us about foster care. They got a table out there. Our executive pastor and his wife are foster parents. He recently told me that there are, he says there are 13 licensed foster families in Wilson County. He said just in 1 month this summer, there were 20 kids that needed fostering. Just in 1 month. And so we're way under what we need in foster parents. So go and talk to them. World Vision is out there. Our friends from California are back again today to help us. They've got several kids you can sponsor. Will you go? And I know you got to pick up your kids, and I know you're in a big hurry to have lunch. But will you got to go through there anyway. Would you stop at one of those tables and actually have a conversation and think about it? what God wants you to do. And here's the third implication. See, go, care. Care for them. Care for the orphan. Care for them. How did God care for us when we were fatherless? In John chapter 14, we talked about this a couple weeks ago because we were going through the seven I am statements. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's a room for you. I'm going there to prepare it for you. And you know how he prepared it? He had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross in order to prepare it. That was the only way we could get in the Father's house. He prepared a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, he said. And then if we didn't read it a couple weeks ago, we didn't go down this far into John 14, but look at this. Look at verse 18. Boy, this fits. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. Listen, when you see me go to the cross, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and I will take you to my Father's house. You have your own room. That's what every orphan wants, to live in a house with a mommy and a daddy and a room that belongs to them. And that's what Jesus promises us. Why wouldn't we be the ones who carry this message to the world, not just with words, but with deeds? Amen? Romans 8, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. If you're a little kid in the Middle East and you speak Aramaic or Hebrew or even Arabic, you wouldn't say Dada or Mama, you would say Abba. Abba. Ab. It's at the beginning of Abraham, the father of nations. Abba, Dada. Jesus says, I've adopted you. You now have the relationship with the Father that I have. You're my children. You were once orphaned, but no more. In Tony Morita's book, Orphanology, says 500,000 children are in the foster care system in America, and approximately 130,000 are immediately adoptable. With 225 million professing Christian adults in America, no identifiable reason exists that all these children cannot be placed immediately in the care of a loving Christian family who can nurture them with the love of Christ as they grow to adulthood. Church, let's do something about this. We started a couple years ago with our first Orphan Sunday. We took it a step deeper when we started going to Guatemala and Uganda. We took it another step deeper yesterday when we sponsored a conference for Eastern North Carolina to educate our members and other churches. We had churches from all over Eastern North Carolina drive here yesterday. We're not finished. You hear me? We're not finished. We see this. Our eyes are open. We're going to go. And we're going to care. Now, something has been going on, and some have referred to it as the Davion effect. Now, I don't know, can we play videos now or not? Is that a thumbs up? And if you don't know what the Davion effect is, watch this short newscast.
It's like you may very well be adopted, yes, before it's too long.
Without a doubt, Davion will have a family. So
a young boy's desperate plea for a family is about to come true. Hey everyone, I'm Melissa Caverly. This is Newsbreaker. You remember this kid, right? Davian Only stood in front of parishioners at St. Mark Missionary Baptist Church in St. Petersburg in late September, pleading for a family, anyone to love him. Since the story got picked up all over the country, 10,000 people responding from all around the world. He appeared on ABC's The View this week, and his caseworker, Connie Going, says Davian's dream is definitely within reach. The agency is in the middle of vetting the families that have expressed interest.
Davion's going to be extremely involved because he's a teenager. He knows what he wants, who he can connect to.
And not only that, he's created a national movement called the Davion Effect. With more than 100,000 kids needing homes in America and the number of people reaching out, his story could fulfill dreams of other kids living without families too.
Yeah, so the Davian effect, we've seen this on social media. It's gone viral to the point that people in almost every English-speaking country have had people contact. So now 10,000 families have offered to adopt Davian. 10,000. It seems to me that the Holy Spirit is moving and that the wave is crashing upon the shores of the churches. And we should be taking the lead on this, but people are being moved by this right now. I hope the 9,999 go and adopt someone else, because he only needs one family. He said, as he was asked by Barbara Walters on The View, she said, in a sentence, Davian, what kind of family are you looking for? And he said, one that will love me. Now, you might be looking at the verse and saying, Gary, as you close, you know, you always say you preach the whole word, and you left out part. I'm not finished. Look at that last part. You might think, well, how does that fit, you know? And to keep oneself unstained from the world, that last little sentence. You know, you've been focusing on the orphan and the widow, the fatherless and the husbandless, the need, but you haven't focused on that last part. To keep oneself unstained. Unstained has the idea of that you were working on something. Maybe you were working on your car or something like that and you got grease on your hands. Or maybe you were painting and you got paint on you. You got stained. So first let me tell you what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean not to do the work. What this does mean is to constantly go before the Lord to make sure that the world doesn't stain you with the way it does things. Yeah, you're going to get out there and get dirty, but let him keep cleaning you up so you don't start looking like the world does. So you're going to work with orphans and widows as the church, but as you do it, remain unstained by the world's culture. He's not saying don't go into the world. He's saying go into the world and be my representatives, but don't get stained by the way the world does. Now, as we were looking at Davian and as we were thinking about the number, the vast number of orphans in the world are children of color, what might be the world's stain that could get on us? Racism. Racism could be one of the stains that gets on us so that we are racist in the way we respond to need. And this uncovers a problem for us. But I would challenge us to not let that slow us down. Amen? And so that we're a church that we're excited about families and churches looking like the way heaven's going to look like someday anyway. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Didn't you learn that in Sunday school? Tony Marita said, the sheer scope of the problem dictates that the evangelical church in America must deal with any bent towards the sin of racism if we are to meet this ministry challenge. We can't let what color a child is determine whether or not. We can't be stained by the way the world thinks. Now, I may have overwhelmed you today. Good. I'm overwhelmed too. You might think creation is groaning. The whole world. It's the fourth largest nation in the world. How are we going to affect the problem of the orphan? Let me offer to you this little thought. It's from a pastor some years ago. He wrote this, and maybe you've heard this before. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. Just because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. And by the grace of God, I will. I'm only one, but I am one. You can touch at least one. So leave like that. Like, not so much this problem. Let's give that to the Lord. But what are you going to do about your one that He's called you to touch, to see, to go to, and to care about? Creation groans, but the Father is coming. So here's how we respond today, and we'll close. One is, some of you are here today and you're fatherless. Your first and best response today would be to say, Jesus, come into my life and save me. I don't want to be an orphan anymore. Give me hope. And then you become one of our brothers and sisters, And we're going to go help the orphan and the widow. Will you see the affliction? Will you go? Will you care? Will you consider adoption? Will you consider going on one of the mission trips to actually visit and see? Would you go and consider getting licensed, you know, trained and licensed to be a foster parent? Would you sponsor a child? This would be something you can handle as you leave today. For under $40 a month, you could pick one of those beautiful faces of one of those packets out there before you leave and say, I'm going to sponsor a child. I'm going to make a difference. Do something. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, first of all, for that person that is fatherless today, but they want you. They want to be able to call you Abba. I'm praying for that person right now. Right in your seat, just say this. With the heart of faith, just say this. I believe in you, Jesus. I place my faith in you. I believe you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave, that you live today. Come and live in me. Make me a child of God. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. If you'll pray that prayer, Jesus, he came to do that. His answer is yes. Invite him in. Others are here today and you've prayed that prayer and your heart is stirred. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to tell every one of us in this room our part, our one part that we're to do. We know you've got the whole world in your hands, and we know that your heart beats for the orphan and the widow. So, Lord, show us our part. Disturb us until we answer. In Jesus' name, amen.